Okay, thank you, Ryan, for sharing. This morning we're going to look back at Matthew once again. And now we can look at the second part of this call to serve. Okay, and I'm just hoping that we will become, with time, understand what it really means to be called to serve. You might note that we are a little bit lesser this time. The younger ones have all gone back to ISS, and we're glad for that. And there's a new program for the ISS beginning this Sunday. So it's going to be a great challenge to learn what it means to for the teachers to be even more involved in their ministry, and this is going to be very, very challenging for them. I'm going to ask you to pray with me for ISS especially. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray this morning that you would be with our ISS kids as they begin this new year on their own. We pray that the new program being devised for them will challenge their hearts. We pray for the teachers especially that they will serve with an even greater sense of purpose and impacts upon the lives of the kids. And I pray that you would bless us as we study your word for ourselves this morning. And I pray that you will help us to be challenged to consider serving you. And we pray that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to take up the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, revising a little bit last week's focus. Okay, and chapter 10 in verse 1, we read this text. So this is important for us to consider. If you are using the the NKJV text, you would see how the Lord called the disciples to him. And then we read, he gave them power. Now this word, power, is perhaps not the best word to translate the word in the Greek text. Because in Acts chapter 8, chapter 1 and verse 8, we have the idea of power as well. In Acts 1:8, we read the Lord Jesus Christ said to the people, to the church, that you will receive power. Now that word that for the power there and the word for the word power here are two different words. And they're entirely different. Okay, over here, the focus is not a power that they will feel. It will not be a power that they will actually receive in terms of, you know, I see an energy inside me enabling me. The word here is best translated authority. Okay, let's say that we're looking at, you know, the idea of authority. You know, I see this in India quite a bit. Sometimes in difficult junctions, you know, in traffic, nobody actually obeys traffic rules. About 70% of the time, the traffic rules are not obeyed. It doesn't matter whether it's red or it's green, it's all the same. If I see the traffic condition is good, I just drive. Until a policeman comes in, then things are a little bit more organized there. Now, that man who is standing there, where he is, has no power to stop the car as Superman would have. Now, that's power, where he can stop the car and the car is damaged along the way if he hits him. Now, that's power. But he has the authority. It may be a fat policeman, it may be a thin policeman, it could be a policewoman for that matter. But he represents the police force and he has the authority. Now that is what we are looking at. And this word is the authority. And so when people are sent out for ministry at this point of time here, the first thing they needed to learn was how to understand authority. And then later on to understand power. They're not the same at all. Okay? Now, this is important. So when we go out and serve the Lord, we may not feel terribly empowered in terms of feeling it. But you are nevertheless authorized. You are empowered with reference to authority. That's what we are looking at. I think this is absolutely important for us to distinguish when we take a look at how the disciples needed to learn authority first before we talk about power. That there is a whole lot of difference. Okay, authority would mean that they may not feel very strong, they may not feel very powerful, nevertheless, the authority to do what they are supposed to do is there. Acts 1:8, power is different. They will see and they will feel that they will experience a reality of power in their bones, in their lives. And this is going to be a lot of difference. But first they learn this whole idea. Okay? Now, they needed to understand this authority because without understanding authority, you know, in the back of their mind, they're not going to be very, very effective because you'll be wondering, should I be here? Who will listen to me? How will it work out? Now, we take a look at the focus here. Now, this particular ministry recorded in Matthew 10 is a very, very localized ministry. Okay, so you want to understand some of this thing. What you call it localized is because of the fact that you don't want to apply Matthew 10, cite it, and then say, you know, God has given me the power to go and heal people, raise up the dead, and so on and so forth, as some people actually claim, which is actually a false claim. Because understanding the context of Matthew 10, we are looking at a very, very specific area of ministry. For example, 10:5, we read, okay, so Jesus sent them out and commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Now that's very, very specific. Okay? Now, that's very obvious why this is so specific. These disciples have yet to be fully tested. Their knowledge is only limited. Their understanding doesn't go very far at this point of time. And so the challenge would be to ask, how can we minister then? Okay, so here we go. If you go to the Samaritans, chances are their own feelings, anti-Samaritan spirit, is going to come up and interfere with ministry. Or if the Samaritans insult them, and the Samaritans are as good as insulting Jews as vice versa, the Jews are very good at insulting the Samaritans. It's not going to be helpful if they're going to go down there and half the time they're going to end up with squabbles. Going to the Gentiles is even worse, because as far as the Jews are concerned, the idea of reaching Gentiles is totally alien. There is no way in which they can go down there and, well, let's go down there and minister to Gentiles. You know, the way they regarded Gentiles is really, really bad in their own theological hierarchy. Okay? The people in modern Jerusalem right on top. And people in Samaria near to the bottom. The Gentiles is fodder for fires of hell. Typical Jewish thinking. And that was not good. They were not ready for this ministry. So this was a very, very restricted kind of ministry that we're looking at. Okay? Now, they were told to go to the lost sheep of Israel. The construction of it would really make this stand out. The lost sheep. Right? And so this is something that we need to look at. Who are the lost sheep? Just about everybody. Okay, so this was a very great challenge. So this was a very special ministry directed at Israel alone. Okay, now what were they going to do if they were going to be sent out? Now they cannot debate on a lot of things. They cannot debate on Christology. They cannot debate on pneumatology, about the Holy Spirit. They cannot talk about the church. They cannot talk about the second coming. They can't. Why? They're not trained yet. They're not taught yet. But it is still ready to go. Yes. They must at least know how to handle the basics. And what is the basic over here? And the basic over here is to be able to preach the kingdom of heaven. Right? And all of us can serve if we understand the kingdom of heaven at all. If we understand what it means to bring a word to encourage people to consider the kingdom of heaven. And the word is that we can and we are ready to serve. If we can understand this, it will help us a great, great deal. Think about this. And so they were told, go down there and go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the first message, probably, that they heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom expectation is something that Israel already had. So we are touching familiar grounds. Now the challenge is to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you may enter into it. Well, that was not hard, was it? And I think this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. I wonder how many of you were conscious of being witnesses this week. I hope you were, you know, and you consciously actually invited people to church, you know, spoke about the kingdom. Bear witness. You have the authority to understand it and to go ahead and share that word. I think this is important for us to consider, right? You know, if we were to look at it, and you know, I had to be in hospital this week, and you know, what's the best thing to do if you're going to hospital? Well, how about bearing witness to the nurses? It's called a captive audience. Well, you can't run away; they can't run away either. And then you speak about the Lord, I think that is the best thing to do, the best thing that we could do. But, you know, it's a real challenge to bear in mind the consciousness that we ought to go and preach the gospel. If only we would be aware of this challenge to minister. Now, let's take a look at 10 and verse 8. And again here, special provision. Okay, now let's take a look at the ministry very, very carefully. You go preach the gospel, the kingdom. Now, in verse 8, now this is where we call it a very specific thing. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Wow. Now that couldn't be more specific than that. And obviously, this has not something that we can say, okay, this is my favorite verse. I'm going to memorize this. Okay, and the first thing I'm going to do is to raise the dead. There are the actual physical dead, and then there are the spiritually dead. it would be nice to be able to raise up and go to this section and, okay, those of you who are dead, arise. That would be nice. But unfortunately, this is not a power that is given to us. Okay, it's an authority to preach this, but we can't actually do this as in a physical sense of the word. But this was something that they were given. And this was important. A special ministry, not a norm. This is something that you need to note. Okay, now there are lots of things to learn along the way as well. And we read, for example, freely you have received, freely give. Now this is something that we need to practice. You know, in ministry, it is important that we understand this thing here. It has tied it with verse 9. And I wish the people who noted this would have put this as verse 9 rather than put it as verse 8 and. Remember, the Bible verses were not there originally. Somebody went to make the Bible verses on their own, and then verse 8 and verse 9, and after all, everybody copied it as if it's a natural thing. I would have loved to put 8e as 9 rather than put 8e by itself in verse 9, because it has to do with freely giving and freely receiving. And this is something that you need to understand and appreciate this. Okay, now this is a policy. This is really more in terms of policy of ministry. It's called practice of ministry. Now this is something that I do very, very consciously. Some years ago, I was asked to go and minister in Korea. And I was teaching and lecturing at a Bible school there for that week. And then I had a ministry as well as to a group of churches. And they asked me whether I would speak about the work, you know, what are some principles of ministry. So my topic was to talk about the Antiochian approach of ministry. So I developed a series there. At the end of the week of ministry there, at the airport, they handed me a big pile of Korean won. And I look at it, and it's about $5,000 worth. So I said, as a policy, as a practice, I don't receive anything whenever I minister outside the country. I don't. And they look at each other, and what do we do with this guy? And so I said, you know, this is the principle. You freely receive, you freely give. So my practice was, okay, now you've got a church building fund. You asked me to talk to your senior pastor about this. I did. Well, why don't you channel this as my gift to the building fund? I won't even look at it, won't touch it. And they scratched their head because this is very non-Korean. But it is biblical. I hope you understand what the practice of it all. This is why we don't receive anything for our ministries in church. We don't take ang paos for funerals, we don't take ang paos for marriages, we just don't. There's just a policy that we want to practice so that the focus of it all is never oriented towards money at any point of time. Okay, this is just a practice part of it. Provide for yourself gold, silver, copper. Now, this is an important thing to learn. Now, you have to understand what ministry is all about. Frankly, the whole idea of ministry is how effective will all these disciples be? It's not the point. The focus is not how effective they will be. The real challenge is for them to understand ministry by being involved and practicing it. The challenge is to learn, to experience, rather than to think that we are contributing a whole lot. Would any of the disciples anywhere come to scratch comparing to the master? Never. So what was the point of the Lord Jesus Christ sending out the disciples? Because they were all that ready? No. Because they were all that great? No. Because we're all that wonderful? No. Nothing. It was for them to learn. It was for them to become stronger, wiser, better. They will learn along the way through actual ministry. Otherwise, you just cannot do it. I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay, so this is something that we need to ponder over. So, typically, if a person wants to go into ministry, we almost have to check, okay, in the modern day word would be, okay, how much money should I carry with me? Okay, what about my credit card? What happens if, you see, the mind is so concerned about the things that can go wrong. What if nobody wants to take us? What if nobody wants to receive us? What if we are rejected? What if we are pelted with stones? What if they set the dogs on us? And they have to learn how to exercise their faith. They have to learn how to trust the Lord. They have to trust that even if they were to make mistakes along the way, it would be good for them. I think this was something that was important. They are to provide nothing. And the nothing was spelled out. What is nothing? And the Lord had to explain what nothing is. Because some people have the word nothing differently. You say, you didn't mention this, so I will bring that. So the Lord, this is typical travel in the early days. Typical travel, you bring gold, you bring silver, you bring copper. So this is typical. You bring bag, you bring extra tunic, exchange of clothes, you bring sandals, you bring staff. And if some people need two staff, just in case. So you feel a little bit more confidence one way or the other. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them, you're going to have absolutely nothing. And it's very, very hard to travel with nothing. Seriously. And you just think about what it is, and it is really, really quite challenging for them. But they had to learn. Okay, now everything is going to be looked after. Don't worry about it. But he didn't tell them how to go about it exactly. This, they will have to exercise faith. No other way. One principle was given, and that was all. And that principle was stated very clearly, verse 9. A worker, verse 10 there, okay? A worker is worthy of his food. That was it. Wow, that was a challenging thing. If you are worthy, it will be given. If you are not worthy, don't expect very much. Now, it is not a sense of your self-worth, but I feel I'm worthy. That's not a point. Okay? So this is something that they will have to understand quite a bit. Now, here is a further challenge. In chapter 10, in verse 11, it's very, very clear. And when you go into a city or a village, okay, this has been very important, you are to inquire. Now you can inquire who will take you in. Okay? Now if you happen to know that in this particular place there is a notorious person, he's very wealthy, but he is also notorious in his work. Is he worthy? He's not. Okay, now this is absolutely important. The question is, who is worthy? And that is your criteria. And it's not easy to understand. But let's take a look at his idea of who is worthy, what is worthy. Let's turn to Psalm 112, and you catch a picture of this thing here. You would imagine the Lord Jesus Christ would have taught them along the way some of these principles. Okay, and let's take a look at Psalm 112 and see what kind of a person would be, say, worthy. Okay, let's take a look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Does this person fear the Lord? Who greatly delights in his commandments. Does he do that? Now, that we call worthy. Okay, now look at verse 4. To the upright, there arises light from darkness. This person sees light. He doesn't see darkness. You want to see a person this person is positive. Not a person who is negative about everything. Negative about the government, negative about people, negative all the time. This person is not worthy. Because they're going to go into stay in a home. And half the time they hear negative insults all the time in the household. It's going to dampen their ministry quite a bit. And so here is the person who is worthy. Now take a look at verse 4. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. This good man deals graciously and he lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Okay, the righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Right? His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. Well, that is righteous person. Verse 9. He has dispersed abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now that is a righteous man. That is a man of worth. And if we are none of these things here, you can be very sure. If you're going to a home, which home would we want to go to? You don't say and pick and choose, well, this is a very nice home, I'm going to go in there because I know they got good food. They got a comfortable bed. You can't, because if you are associated with a person who is unworthy, your name is going to be tainted by the unworthy person. Now, so they had to learn discernment. They had to learn very carefully who are the ones who are worthy and the ones who are not. Now, that is a great challenge for us to consider, right? So this is now, we'll go back to Matthew 10 once again. Okay? And this worker goes to a person who is worthy. He's righteous. He gives. He helps out because he understands light. He is very interested in the things of God. This person will be of great assistance. And the principle of who is worthy is the best thing to consider. Right? Let's take a look at this here. Now, you must stay here and stay there until, let us say that you have looked at, and then in the city, there are two houses that are very worthy. The people are worthy. But one gives good food, one gives good bed. So you cannot say, I'm going to have the good food there and the good bed there. You can't. You're going to send wrong signals. There you will stay. Now, I still remember how it was when I was in Sarawak ministering in among the Dayak tribes there. I ministered to about 10 different tribes there. And I stayed with a man, and I think this is a really dear man in the Lord, and he was a missionary. So he would give me one of the children's rooms to stay in. He lived in a bungalow, and downstairs was the place where his church was. Upstairs was his home. And it was really quite difficult to understand how. The room was okay, but just a bed. He used to be a senior accountant in the UK. And his wife used to be a matron in a general hospital. And evening years of their life, they gave their lives to serve the Lord as missionaries. I thought that was impressive. But what was not impressive was the food. So they said, we're going to have dinner. My mind dinner, is substantial. His dinner was afternoon. His dinner in the evening was actually what we call supper. So it was a reverse, because the word dinner is not determined by time. In Singapore, dinner is determined by time. But in the UK mindset, dinner is determined by amount of food you eat. So the big meal was lunchtime, which they don't have. They call it dinner. And then they could have supper in the evening. Typically, supper would be 2 pieces of bread and some bananas from the outside tree he had, fresh from the tree. And that was it. And it was hard. You know, I had to live with him for 2 weeks. And that was all I had. Now you notice why I've never been able to put on weights in the early days. You know, you become slim throughout. And it was a really challenging thing. Ministering among the Dayaks was even more challenging. But you got to stay with the people there. And I still remember the time when a piece of meat dropped from my plate to the floor and it bounced. That's how chewy. You can chew on the piece of meat for half an hour and it is nowhere close to being ready to be swallowed. So after that, I said, no need meat. So they give me fish. I have never seen a more bony fish. There was hardly any meat. There was just bones. So I said, all right, I'm going to be vegetarian for a while. So I ate vegetables. But the vegetables, I could see the DDT and taste it just as much. And all they had was a huge amount of rice, which, you know, for the longest time, half an hour later, I still can't see the bottom. So I said, you know, I just have a little portion and that's it. 2 weeks. You know what it means to exercise trust? And so I preach with even greater keenness because you are lean and mean. You know, you channel all the energy into the preaching of the Lord's word. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you understand the principle of you stay where you are, you don't move, you learn to be thankful for whatever you have. Even if it is not a whole lot, you just learn to trust the Lord and focus on the ministry. This is what the disciples had to learn. And it was not easy. So say goodbye to comfort. Say goodbye to the things you're used to. Just do what you are told. Wow. So what do? You go to the home and you say, peace be with this home. Peace is now personified. If the home is worthy, the peace will stay. If the home is not worthy, you've lost nothing. The peace will come back to you. I like that. I like that illustration. I really do. It's a great challenge to consider to understand what this really means. Right? So let's ponder this thought very, very carefully. If the house is worthy, Psalm 112 is an excellent psalm to read, to ponder what that house that is worthy is all about. And I think this is something we want to consider. Now, then the Lord Jesus Christ raises the possibility of rejection. Okay, please do not think that every time people will receive the word of God effectively. The answer is not really. Okay, so 10, 14, and 15. Now, this is something that we need to look at very carefully, okay? And whoever will not receive you, verse 14, and hear your words, which when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Now, this is important. This is not a threat, okay? This is not a warning. In a sense of, okay, you reject me, you know, something bad is going to happen to you is tomorrow. That's not the intended meaning. The intended understanding is don't be afraid. There will come rejection. Okay, remember the word authority. When they reject you, they reject the authority behind you. Okay, and this authority that is behind is the Lord, is the Lord's himself. I think this is important for us to think of. Okay, now, then a careful description of it all. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay, so you do whatever you can. Well, Jesus experienced that. At Bethsaida, at Capernaum, many miracles were performed there. But they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Nazareth rejected the Lord Jesus Christ too. And the word is the same. One day they will stand before God. And they will be soundly rebuked. And they will be judged for having rejected. Okay? So it's not just the person rejected. Don't take this personally. Okay? And don't be too quick in taking off your shoes and brushing off the the dust that is there. See one little speck of dust. You don't mean to be insulting or to be rude in any way at any time to anybody. That is far from the idea. It's a great challenge is to really understand the whole idea of ministry. They have to understand that when they minister for the Lord, there is authority behind you. There is the Lord himself behind you. So when there is rejection, the rejection is not personal. It is God himself who is being rejected. The danger is to the person or to the people, to the city that rejects, because they have rejected none other than the Lord himself. And it is something that you need to understand and appreciate. It takes a while to let this sense of authority sink in. It's not an easy thing to understand and appreciate, but it is a vital thing for us to consider. Okay, so there was the calling part of it. And then there was the understanding of authority and being actually sent. Will they stumble? Yes. Will they not be great? Yes. Maybe there's not a whole lot of effect. Maybe there is some rejection. The focus is the learning process rather than the ministry work. And it is important for us to understand this. It is in understanding, it is in obedience, it is in experience that they will begin to understand the focus of it all. This is meant to be good for your learning, for the future. And one day, as we will read in the book of Acts later on, they will understand the power that will come with it. Right now, it is authority. And it is good to see this. So when we teach the Lord's word, you know, we are never afraid if people reject. Why? The authority is still there. Worthy is the person who will receive. The peace of God will be with that person. And so this is something that we learn along the way. Well, may we have a further understanding of what ministry is all about. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to understand authority, to understand ministry, and to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to minister. We pray that you will help us to understand these deeper lessons that we have today from Matthew 10. Give to us that wisdom that will help us appreciate authority. Once again, we pray that you would bless this offering that we now give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.